Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Somebody ought to say amen again. Look how far God has brought us and how far we have to go. And I want to tell you, it's not that far. We are on the brink now. I praise and thank God for another blessed Sabbath day. What about you? And being here today and bringing the concluding message for this revival kind of makes me sad. I don't want to stop. I want to continue with this rhythm. I want to continue with this routine. It's such a blessing to stay consistent in praying and studying and preparing and sharing. There's nothing like it. Don't give the devil no time. Amen. We're praising God again for being here, and I want to thank Pastor Ramey for his kind introductions and the invitation that he has given us, my wife and I, and the hospitality of your church is so wonderful. There's love here. And I thank God for this vineyard. I noticed some old friends of ours from Normandy Avenue that's here today. And I have to ask for forgiveness for this, because the last time I seen these members, it has to be at least 25 years ago. So the last name escapes me. Praise God for you being here. Beloved, we are in high time. And I'm so grateful that you've allowed us to join you in revival. You did this for us. You didn't know that. Brother Patrick, thank you for the special music. Need to get going now. The Holy Spirit has tabernacled with us this week. And if you missed it by not coming out, as many have mentioned, get the CDs and catch the afterglow of God's power that he has touched lives this week. Not because of me, I'm nobody, I was receiving too. Members of this church have shared this testimony with me. They have been touched and revived. And my response to that, to God be the glory. Amen. It was in the ninth inning. First place team playing a last place team. And the team that wins this game will win the championship. The team, the home team, was leading. And it was a one-point lead. And as they began to strategize and continue to try to push forward their strategy, the manager saw that the pitcher was getting a little tired. And he felt in his heart, he had a hunch that I should just leave him in. It's only one more strike, and we got the game. I know he has it in him. He's our best closer. Lo and behold, the pitcher threw the next pitch, and there was a home run by the other team. The team with the worst record. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit tied things together. I didn't know the pastor was going to say that. And the leading team, the best team, lost the game on that last pitch. Oh, beloved, God's message to all of us today is entitled, The Closers. The Closers. Would you pray with me? Beloved, God of heaven, we praise and thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. You are a good God. You brought us a mighty long ways, and here we are now, Lord, sitting at your table, ready to be served again. Please, O God, what we want you to serve today is your Holy Spirit in triple portions. Pour it out upon us, O God. Take charge right now. And as I've asked all during the week, put your words in my mouth. And, O God of heaven, bind the enemy, and if he's in somebody acting up, put him out. This I pray in Jesus' name. Let everyone say. Amen. Our beloved, my brothers and sisters, it is known to be a very hard thing to get over when you're so close to accomplishing your goal, only to be let down by a poor decision to deviate from your game plan. Some people think like some baseball managers. They think that they're safe to disregard their strategy to accomplish the goal, the game plan. Beloved, even the enemy of souls, even the enemy of souls, Satan himself has many uses and he uses many strategies to overthrow humanity. But one day, he's going to lose. Beloved, I want to tell you right here and right now, I didn't come to talk about baseball closers, but God's closers. The closers of his work, restoring his truth and spreading the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ, to this dark world and dark Christian world. Why do I say dark Christian world? Because there are many, many churches across the line declaring themselves to be light, but they are transmitting light mixed with darkness. They're like flickering strobes, lights that gives intermittent light, flashing light and darkness at the same time, and that deceives people. As a matter of fact, I would like to challenge you to thread a needle or write your name in a sentence on a piece of paper beneath a strobe light in the dark and see how quickly you can get the job done. Because of the darkness that is mixed with his light, God wants his people, and that's us, to flash his true, unadulterated light. He sent his son Jesus to redeem us and pay the penalty of death for our sins, bringing us out of darkness and giving us the opportunity to receive eternal life. And I say, thank you, Jesus. And he says to us who's truly accepted him as our personal Savior, in Ephesians chapter 5 and looking at verse 8, you probably have the scriptures. We'll move right through them this morning. In Ephesians chapter 5, looking at verse 8, he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Amen. This doesn't say we were sometime in darkness. We were darkness. But now we're not just walking in the light. You are light. If we truly have given our hearts to Christ, guess what? We're supposed to be light. That's what the Bible says. I'd like to declare even further that Jesus says in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Walk in what? "But shall have the light of life." How many of you here today plan to follow Jesus and not walk in darkness and gain the light of life? Let me hear you say amen. Amen. Further, God says in John 9:5, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Beloved, this text is the foundation of the theme song for this revival. Jesus is the light of this world. Do you believe that? Jesus also shares with us in John 12:46. He says to us, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. My brothers and sisters, let me make it plain upon the tables that you may read it and run doing God's will. Belief requires action. You can't say you believe and not show that you believe by what you do. That's why the Bible says in James 2, let's travel there. What book did I say? James chapter 2, 18 to 20, we will read. James 2. 18 to 20. You have it? Let me hear you say amen. The word of God says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble, so you don't have nothing going on. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Yeah. Our beloved, we have to have a connection with God that reveals our life truly being connected with God. There was a man, good friend of mine, bought his wife a brand new Mercedes-Benz. And you know, those cars are expensive. Even the hubcaps cost you a lot of money if you lose one. But one day, he was standing on his porch, and the wife was driving up the hill, and when she was approaching, he noticed one of the headlights was dim. You know, and that bothered him. He paid a lot of money for that car. So he took the Mercedes back to the dealer. He had just gotten it about 3 weeks before. And he shared with them, there's a problem with this light. And they said, well, we have to run a diagnostic test. And it's going to cost $200. He says, wait a minute. I just bought this car. Isn't that covered under warranty? Even in that? Well, for us to know what it is, it's going to cost you $200. And he says, I don't have that kind of money. We'll just drive it that way. Then it dawned on him. He has a regular mechanic that he goes to, and he's been a good man, Christian man, faithful all the years. So one day, while he was getting his wife's car serviced and getting other things taken care of, it dawned on him while he was in the waiting room that, you know what? I'll have him take a look at that light. So when he came in and the mechanic says, well, that's all it. That's it. That's it. Everything's fine. You're ready to go. He says, you know, there's one more thing. I have a headlight that is dim, and I don't know why it's dim. And he says, oh, okay, I'll go check it out. And the man came back 3 minutes later. He says, okay, that's it. What else? You have anything else? He says, what about the light? He says, oh, that's fixed. He says, what did you do? He says, in every headlight, there's three prongs that you have that has to go into a connection. He said one of them was bent down, and it wasn't giving a full connection. So I just bent it back up and plugged it in, and that was it. He says, praise God, I say. Our beloved, let me tell you something today. So if you say if you believe, and it is genuine, you will not abide in darkness or have a dim light. You will have a complete living connection with God, reflecting the bright light of Jesus. You won't be dim. You won't be bent down in any way. Come on and say amen. Now let me throw in that this is not intermittent light. This is light all the time. 24/7. This is not just light at church and prayer meeting. This is light in your home, before your children, before your parents, before your wife, before your husband, before your sister and your brother. This is light on your job, when you walk the street, while you're driving the car, while you're walking your dog. Light all the time. And again, not just having light, you are light. That's God's intention for us. Are you listening? This is why he gives us this counsel. Travel with me to Isaiah 60. What book did I say? Isaiah 60, looking at 1 to 3. The word of God says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the who? The who? But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Our beloved God wants to light up the darkness. He doesn't want to send angels down here to do it. He wants us to do it. We are the light, and Jesus will light everyone that comes unto him. We ought to sing this song with sincerity and great joy. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, beloved, God wants to close this work, his work, using his closers, who is full of his light. Throughout the ages now, there have been faithful closers restoring his truth. As soon as Adam and Eve fell, the plan of redemption was revealed to them by God when he said in Genesis 3:15, and I would put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And that was giving the plan of redemption, that someone would come and die and take the place of what Adam and Eve could not do. A plan of redemption, if you please. And therefore, after they had sinned, God killed two animals and took skins to provide garments for Adam and Eve to protect them from the chilliness and the heat, which came about because of sin. And then in Genesis 3:21, in Patriarchs and Prophets, the word of God reveals to us this is what take place. Adam then began to share the light of the plan of salvation to his children. And it was demonstrated by Abel obeying God and sacrificing a lamb, which is a reminder that one day a Savior would come and commit himself a living sacrifice to redeem all mankind from a life of sin. Then down through the ages, Seth, Adam's son, who was born after the death of Abel, learned the plan of redemption from his father Adam and began to spread the word to the coming generations, which included Isaac, Jacob, and then through Moses, which the plan of redemption was revealed to the children of Israel through the sanctuary services at the foot of Mount Sinai. Praise God, I say. The plan of redemption was shared with all of the prophets, like Elijah. All of the prophets, the major prophets and minor prophets, Elijah, and many more. And one of those major prophets was Daniel. And God gave Daniel the longest time prophecy that revealed Christ's baptism, Christ's anointing of the Holy Spirit, and his crucifixion. This is the 2300 day year prophecy the Bible speaks of in Daniel chapter 8 and looking at verse 14. This is heavy, so we got to lift it. Oh, yes. And the Bible says, and he said unto me, unto 2300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed. Why did God do that? Because God knew the devil was going to try and stop the truth of spreading and pervert God's truth by adding error to it. And he's done it. Well, what did he do? He tried to destroy the sanctuary service by using the Roman Empire. Why did he do this? He did it because the Bible says in Psalms 77, looking at verse 13, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. The devil knows that the sanctuary service reveals the plan of redemption and salvation of the true God. Yes, he does. This is why St. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, looking at verse 4, 1 to 4. What book did I say? Thessalonians, chapter 2, 1 to 4. And the word of God says from St. Paul, "Now we beseech you, we beg you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The Roman Empire. My brothers and sisters, God's light of truth is being perverted. And all the world is wondering after this power. In Revelation 13:3, it says, "And all the world wondered after the beast's power," the Roman Empire, trying to tear down the sanctuary. Why? Because it points to something. God knew that this would happen. The devil is working through the Roman Empire to receive worship and allegiance over Jesus. Therefore, getting back to the trend of time, after 400 silent years between the Old and the New Testament, where God sent no prophet, he finally sent the forerunner, John the Baptist, to call people to repentance because the Savior was about to come. During this time, Rome was in control of the then known world, and Jesus then finally came on the scene right on time, according to prophecy. Jesus was baptized, lived the sinless life of serving and ministering, and was crucified. He was what? Crucified. And again, right on time, according to the prophecy. After Jesus ascended back to heaven, the disciples continued spreading the light of the gospel of Jesus all through the then known world. Many of them were stoned, persecuted, and killed for believing and teaching about Jesus Christ. Even many of the Jews rejected Jesus in AD 34. They were cut off from being exclusive to receiving the gospel as God's people. This is why Paul and Barnabas said in Acts 13:46-47. And the word of God says, "Then in Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." That says something to us today. If we don't accept this gospel message, if we don't take it on this light and permeate it throughout this world, God is going to take it from us and give it to the Gentiles. Then in verse 47, he says, "So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth." In other words, take my light to the whole world and not just to the Jews. Don't get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid and belch. After those days, this controversy between Christ and Satan began to escalate. Oh, yes, it did. The Apostle Paul was beheaded, and more disciples were persecuted and killed. John the Revelator, as we talked about last night, was placed on the Isle of Patmos, and God gave him prophetic visions of the end times. He wrote those visions down to reveal to God's last day church what it was to take place in the closing scenes of Earth's history. Then in the year 538 A.D. began what we call the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages. Called what?
Dark Ages.
It was called the Dark Ages because the word of God was taking away and God's church was being persecuted for being Christians and burned at the stake. That's why it says in Revelation 12, 13 through 17 that the church fled into the wilderness because of this persecution. They were tarred and feathered, fed to lions in the Roman Colosseum. 50 million died for their faith in Jesus. In these dark ages, the light of God's word was cast down. Rome cast it down. And the world was again in darkness. And the Lord said, it's time for me now to escalate my plan of salvation and restore my truth and bring it to light. My way, my truth, and the light is in the sanctuary. The sanctuary. Can we get that slide up there, please? There it is. My way, my truth, my light is in the sanctuary. Amen. And Satan used the Roman Empire to try to destroy it. The Bible says this power will try to do this. Therefore, in Daniel chapter 8, what book did I say?
Daniel.
Let's travel there. Daniel chapter 8, 9 to 13. The Roman Empire will try to cast down the sanctuary. There's a reason for this. Satan wants allegiance, wants to nullify God himself and God's truth. Daniel 8, 9 to 13. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceedingly great, the Roman Empire, to cut it down so you can understand. Because that's deep prophecy. Amen. Toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts and some of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Persecution. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And hosts was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and it prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? Beloved, this is the Roman church trying to nullify God's sanctuary message. There's a reason for it. This church persecuting God's people and polluting the truth of God's sanctuary. How so? The sanctuary and its service. God had the sanctuary to be placed there in that peninsula of Sinai, that he can show who he is with his people, showing them that the plan of redemption. And the sanctuary service was set in motion. It was there. And there was items in the sanctuary that represented certain things. Uh-huh. And God began to restore his light of truth. Amen. By showing them all the things in the sanctuary. They had the burning altar, which represented his sacrifice. One day he will come and die for lost mankind. So when the people went in and they sacrificed the lamb, that represented Jesus. And then before the priest could go into the sanctuary, there was a laver there, you see. And they had to do them, they had to wash themselves before they can go into the sanctuary. And this represented baptism. God wanted to restore that. And then as you go into the most holy place, or the holy place, excuse me, there were three articles of furniture in there. And when you walked in, and on the right side was the table of showbread. And it represented the bread of God, the word of God, the strength of God. Amen. Then on the left, you had the seven golden candlesticks. Yes, representing the God's light as well, with the oil filled, representing the Holy Spirit. But these candlesticks represented God's people, his church. And then as you go to the center, towards the back, there was the altar of incense that represented the prayers of the people. And then once you get past that, the prayer life, it's showing the life of the Christian. Amen. It's showing in this sanctuary service what God has done, the plan of salvation. Yes. And the altar of incense, we're praying to God. And then from there, you go behind the veil, in that second compartment is the most holy place, where the Ark of the Covenant is there, which represents the throne of God. And right there, you had two covering cherubims there with the Shekinah glory in the middle, representing the presence of God. And beneath the seat, which is called the mercy seat, is where the Ten Commandments are. Amen. This sanctuary service revealed the complete plan of salvation. And the Roman Empire wanted to cast it down. Oh, yes. But God wanted to restore this light to a dark world. And not just a dark world, but to a dark Christian world. God began to restore this light of truth with the reformers, the Protestant reformers, beginning in the 1300s. We're talking about going through the dark ages now. God's church is being persecuted. And then as these reformers, who was coming from out of Rome and its persecution, started going against and protesting against Rome, all the error and dogma that they were permeating. And all of these reformers began to do this. So therefore, looking at the brazen altar, sacrifices pointed to Christ. Amen. Christ was sacrificed for our sins. And in the 1300s, he restored this truth about Christ's sacrifice through the reformers like Wycliffe, Jerome, Huss. And they went against Rome teachings of that you have to pay penance and there is no sacrifice of some savior. You have to do it yourself. Rome was teaching that. And these reformers refuted Rome, and therefore God was bringing that light back. Then the laver, which represent baptism, the washings of the priests before they entered into the holy place, represented, as I said earlier, baptism. So there in the 1400s, he restored the truth about baptism through the reformers like Zwingli, Melanchthon, Knox, who was a Presbyterian. Amen. And guess what? The founder of the Baptist Church, John Smith. Amen. God used these reformers to bring back the light and refuted Rome that you can't just sprinkle people. God says we must be immersed like Jesus. Amen. Come on and say amen. Baptized, immersed, just like Jesus. We are baptized in Christ and rise in Christ according to the word of God. So these reformers did it. They not only said, yes, you must be baptized in immersion, but you better stop sprinkling people and you better stop baptizing babies, because that's unscriptural. Oh, yes. And then as you move from there and go into the holy place, and look at those articles of furniture. And when you turn to the right, as I said earlier, you're looking at the table of showbread. Christ, the bread of life, and his word. So in the 1500s, God restored the truth about his word through the reformers like Martin Luther, John Calvin, Knox, refuting the Roman church. Yes, And during that time, as Martin Luther had come on the scene and nailed a 95 thesis to the Rome's church in Wittenberg. Yes, and by that time, after he had done all of that, God had already had in place the Gutenberg Press. Amen. To start printing the word of God. Now God's word is coming to light again. From these dark ages, people was in darkness. Oh yes. Sharing that the just shall live by faith according to his word. Amen. And then as you move on to the altar of incense, which represents the prayers of God's people. In the 1600s, this is all in history, y'all. God restored the truth about prayer through the reformers, again, Melanchthon, Luther, John Calvin, denouncing Rome for making people confessing them sins to priests, tearing it down. And therefore, God says to us in his word in 1 Timothy 2:5, there's only one mediator that man should go to, and that's Jesus Christ. And then the golden seven candlesticks represented the light of God's word in witnessing his people. So therefore, in 1798, we begin what we call the time of the end. By this time, the dark ages were fading away because the light of God's truth was being spread like wildfire. The reformers was refuting Rome, and the word of God was being spread again. Oh, yes. So in the 1700s, God restored the truth about his light and witnessing. John Wesley, a Methodist, amen, who founded the Methodist Church. He was the church founder of the Methodists and declared that the only one method in his righteousness by faith. Amen. That's righteousness by faith. And he shared that all of us are priesthood of the believers, representing God's light and truth, not Rome. And then as we move beyond the holy place, are you still with me? Come on and say amen. Amen. The Lord had me up putting some things together. We move into the most holy place. The Ark of the Covenant represents the throne of God. And beneath the mercy seat is the Ten Commandments. The earthly tabernacle is a model of the sanctuary in heaven, where Jesus is doing all this ministering going on now. And you can find this truth in Hebrews chapter 9. It's in the book. Take a look. It's there. So therefore, in the 1800s, here we go now. God restored his truth about his commandment, and more by raising up and calling out his final closer to finish the work. This closer is not just another religion. It's not just another religion. It came right on time. It is a movement according to Bible prophecy. This movement is called, get this now, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. God gave his final closers the closing message for this world, a present truth message. So in the 1800s, Joseph Bates, William Miller, James and Ellen White, along with several other Adventist pioneers like J.N. Andrews, E.G. Wagner, A.T. Jones, J.N. Loughborough, Uriah Smith, S.N. Haskells, and Southside SDA, including the World Church, God has brought this message for his closers to share. Well, what is this message? Travel with me to Revelation chapter 14. Come on. Revelation chapter 14. You still with me? Come on and say amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 14. One of our favorite passages. But we need to understand everything about the closing message. Revelation 14, 6 through 12. If you have it, say amen. Amen. The word of God says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, kindred, tongue, and who else? People. That's all of us, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. That's Rome, y'all, all over the world. And the third angel followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man, what did it say? If any man worship the beast and his image, that's Rome, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Who are they? They are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith in Jesus. Who are these angels? They are messengers. They are us, all of us, in these last days. Let me tell you. You see, there are seven messages within these three angels' messages that has been given to us as God's closers. We might ask the question, Lord, what kind of pitches of light shall we throw to the closing work? God says, I just told you. Let me break it down for you. Number one, fear God. That's reverence God. There's hardly any reverence these days to God, especially in the sanctuary. God says to all of us in Leviticus 19:30, ye shall keep my Sabbaths. Not only that, but reverence my sanctuary. Amen. I am the Lord. Number two, give glory to him. That's righteousness by faith. And even to be more detailed, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and looking at verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. God's final closer will teach eating and drinking to the glory of God. The health message, are you listening? The Christian lifestyle, dress, are you listening? How we recreate and everything that we do to the glory of God. You just can't do anything to the glory of God. Amen. Number three, the hour of his judgment is come. That's 1844. The 2300 day prophecy. When the judgment began in heaven. It's going on now. Amen. Daniel 8:14. We are to teach people that the judgment is going on right now. What we say, what we do is being recorded. Because when Christ comes a second time, you're either in or you're out. And then number four, worship him that created. We dealt with this last night. Here comes the Sabbath again. The Sabbath is a memorial of creation. Genesis 2:1-3. God's church will teach this to a dark world. Bring this light. Throw this pitch of light to the dark world. Then number five, Babylon is fallen. Is fallen. Spiritual confusion, apostasy, falling away from the principles of God's word. Many churches are filled with false prophets and spiritualism. Well, I need to tell you right now, if you don't check on me after this, you're crazy. I could be lying. But I got better sense to stand before God's people not telling the truth. But check on me. Amen. And there'll be false prophets in the land. Matthew 24 and Revelation 13, 13 and 14. And then I'm going to throw one in, Revelation 18, 1 to 4. God says to all of his closers in these last days, come out of this darkness, my people. Come on out, that you will not receive her plagues. And then number six, God's closers will throw this pitch in. This pitch of light to this world in darkness. The mark of the beast. It will teach that. And we find that laid out in Revelation chapter 13. We hear about the mark of the beast all the time. And many of us don't know what it means. We are to give this warning message to this doom and dying world. And I can make it plain upon the tables. The beast is Rome. Its mark is Sunday. Amen. It is what it is. Receive his mark in their forehead or in their hand. What do you mean, brother preacher? If that mark is in your forehead, I believe that what Rome says is true about what day to worship. You believe it. It's the mind. If you get the mark in your hand, well, that says the sign of work. That means I don't believe it, but I'm going to go along with it so I can buy some food. Because that's going to become a decree where you can't buy and sell, as it says in Revelation chapter 13, unless you accept the mark. God's remnant people, God's last closers will teach this. And then number 7, keep his commandments, having the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, 17, 19, 10, and 22, 9. God has always had a prophet among his people, leading his people throughout all of the ages. Amen. He has always had a prophet leading his people, except between the Old and the New Testament, which was a dark time. And then he brought on John the Baptist to bring back the Elijah message. And God's word says the Elijah message will come again. And that's us to cut it short. Oh, yes. Are you with me? Come on and say amen. Oh, beloved, God had a prophet among his people all throughout the ages. And now in these last days, it's nonetheless. And it's in the works and writings of Ellen Goo White. Last day prophet. And many people are denouncing the spirit of prophecy. It is the writings of the prophets. Yes, the spirit of prophecy is the writings of the prophets, which the prophets in God's word have written under the spirit of God's leading. The Bible says that no private interpretation has come. God has poured out his spirit upon his prophets who wrote what God says right down. And there are prophets who have a book in the Bible, and there is a true prophet who does not have a book in the Bible, but nonetheless it's inspired from heaven. Through the works, and God's last day closer will have this gift of prophecy. And what one thing that's very significant is the health message that it has brought to this movement. And now you might as well throw in the second coming. And that's Revelation 1:7. Our beloved, this is the closing message for this doom and dying world. This is the light that we are to carry to the world. Are you listening? Take away this light. Guess what? Take away this light that God has sent. We will end up in darkness. Oh, yes, we will. Our church, if we're faithful to the work that God has given us to do, many people will be saved. And to God be the glory. My brothers and sisters, when we finally close the work, I can just imagine how it's going to be. I can imagine how it's going to be as we are on our way to heaven. On our way to heaven. On our way to heaven. And finally, we can see the gates of heaven. Glory, hallelujah. And all of a sudden, we will hear great and great thunder tones. As it says in Isaiah 26:2, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Amen. And as we all gather around, I'm going to be there. What about you? Amen. Oh, yes, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be on that seal glass. I'm going to be there. But as we all gather around the throne of God, I can just imagine everybody hugging each other and shouting for joy, praising God. And when we look around, we'll be looking for all of our loved ones and we'll be ecstatic, you see. I know I will. And as we look around, we will see Adam. Come on and say amen. We will see Adam. You know, Adam has never seen Asian people, black people, Hispanic people, white people. Even though he was the color of ruddy, he was ruddy, you know, because he came from the earth, the dirt. I can just imagine Adam looking around that throne with the rest of us and saying, "Wow, look at here. Lord, have mercy. All of these, my children. Oh, praise God. Praise God. There's going to be a great reunion." Our church, God has something for us. So Southside, rise, shine. The light has come. Stop fooling around with light and darkness at the same time. Now establish yourselves in Bakersfield. Spread the light that you have been given. You're not just here to sit in church. There's a work to be done. God has sent you a pastor. Oh yes, that's following his plans. You better believe it, because I was going somewhere else when he came to me. Amen. Yes, let's get going and close the work spreading the gospel. Come on and say amen. And remember, don't deviate from the soul-winning plan. Our light must be constant to close the work of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, the three angels' messages. Our beloved, let me tell you, the pilot of a ship, a luxury liner, was looking out the window, and as he was sailing along, this large, massive recreational ship, people taking a wonderful cruise, all types of influential people on this ship, the rich folks, you say. Oh yes. And as he looked, the fog came in real heavy. And he was concerned, and he was trying to get where he was going. And all of a sudden, he saw a sweep of light. And then he looked again, and he saw another sweep of light. And he said to himself, "There's a lighthouse nearby." So he picked up the microphone to the radio and began to transmit. And he connected himself to this lighthouse. And he said, "I am a luxury liner. And we're headed straight for another 10 miles to get to our destination." And the lighthouse, the lonely lighthouse respondent says, "You need to deviate from your plan. You need to make a sharp left. Go about 7 miles and then make another right turn, and then you'll be on course." And the pilot says, "You don't understand. I have this great luxury liner with all of these people." He was arrogant. "We have to get where we're going. They have appointments to make. I cannot deviate. I have to go straight ahead." And the lighthouse responded, the man in the lighthouse says, "You better deviate." He says, "Listen here, lighthouse man. I am a 73,000 ton vessel, and I have all these people on this ship, and we have to go straight through. We can't deviate from our plan. You don't know what you're talking about. We're going straight through." And the lighthouse respondent says, "I am a lighthouse, and I'm founded on a rock, and I am not moving." Oh, beloved, Southside, don't move. Stay founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Stay founded on the rock, Christ Jesus. Don't deviate from the plan that God has given to us to finish and close this work. He's cutting it short in righteousness. God is saying, "Look, I will give you my light. And don't you deviate. All the truths that you've heard throughout this week, especially even today, don't deviate from this work. You are a lighthouse off the Pacific coast, Lighthouse number 7, just south of the Central California. That's you. Southside. Don't deviate. There are some people here today that needs to give their heart to Jesus. Why? Because they're in darkness. In darkness. And Jesus wants to give you his light. He wants to save you. There's someone in the Valley of Decision, even right now, there's someone who didn't even want to come today. But the Holy Spirit arrested you and brought you alone anyhow. That's God's mercy. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about what God is doing with nobody's permission. God is speaking to your heart today to give him your life, that he can erase the darkness out of it and give you his life, his light. Is that you today? You want to give your heart to Jesus today and come out of darkness into his marvelous light and be a lighthouse that will not move? If that's you today and you want to give your heart to Christ today and begin to study his word, and therefore you can be baptized and join the forces and get on the front line to finish this work. If that's you, let me see your hand. I could make the appeal longer than the sermon, but I won't do that. Because I don't believe in twisting arms or putting people in headlocks or nothing. I don't have any power. But the Lord arrested me through the wee hours of the morning to share some things, and they were thrown in at the last minute. Help me, Jesus. Let me tell you, we are in the last closing work of Earth's history. And it's time for us to get serious about this thing. Southside, you are a lighthouse. And God wants to use you to finish this work. Now, someone needs to truly recommit their life to Jesus today. Will that be you? Will that be you? Who's here that need to commit their lives to God again today? Let me see your hand. As you can see down through the ages, God has been restoring his truth through reformers using whosoever he will. But let me tell you, we are the closers. Yes, we are. God is looking for us to become faithful servants in these last days, and he wants to empower us with his light. And you will not receive the light if you want to hold on to darkness. Let me tell you something. This is not to scare you, but I have to make it plain upon the tables. Most of the people that's in the church right now won't make it. The majority of the people that's going to be saved is not here right now. So therefore, my testimony comes from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. Hold fast that which you have, that no man take your crown. Because there's going to be some crowns gone. And I'm going to be faithful as far as the Lord will take me. And let me tell you, I love my wife dearly. Oh yeah, you mess with her, you mess with me. But let me tell you something. If there's one crown left, it's mine. How bad do you want to be saved? How sincere are you about taking on this training to finish God's work? End times like these is about equipping God's people for finished work. It's a growing army, and I didn't have anything to do with it. All God said to me is that I want to reduplicate your, I want to duplicate your gifts I gave you. Because you're running around trying to give 100 Bible studies a week. Why don't you train 100 people to win people? You'll do better and we can get out of here. And that's what this is all about. And we need to be a lighthouse. We need to be clear of all the darkness in our lives that we may be filled. Some of us have not come out to the revival all week. And I'm not saying that because I was preaching. I love to hear your pastor talk. He can take the messages. I can receive. Amen. It's not about me.
But I have to do God's will and his bidding, especially when he says go, when I didn't even petition. But there's some who have not come out all week long, and now you're hearing a closing message and you're kind of up in arms and you don't know what to do. One thing you can do is recommit your life to Christ today and be sincere from here on. God is looking for a faithful people. Now, someone here today needs to give their heart to Christ and return to him and do it sincerely right now. If that's you, please stand and come forward. I'm serious now. I'm not trying to force anything. I'm not trying to prolong this thing. We don't have time to do that. But somebody needs to give it up and give it to God. You're here under the sound of my voice. He says in Genesis 6:3, my spirit will not always strive with man. That voice is going to get softer until you won't wake up at all. He's trying to save us. He's trying to save us. What will you do today? Where would you spend eternity? Are you planning to have your heaven now and just let it go at that? God is looking for someone to share his light in a world of darkness, and he wants it to be you. Why not you? He died for you. Why not you? Lord, help us to really let you have your way with our life. If someone needs to return to Christ, you've walked away and you want to return. If that's you, I want you to stand and come forward. Is that you? You're in a far country. You've wandered away from the Lord and now you want to return. If that's you, I want you to come forward. And now this is the last call, and it's going to be the appeal. There's someone here today have the devil handcuffed to them. And you want to get up out of your seat. But he's saying, tomorrow, tomorrow. We're not promised the next 5 minutes. God says, look, don't keep playing footsies with the devil and thinking you're going to make it just because you come to church on the holy day. God is saying to you right now, get up, arise, shine. I'll give you the power. Move. Time is winding up. You heard it from the songster. He's right. A very short time. Please, don't let this moment go by without you making your decision for Christ today. The Lord is looking for a person today, and you know who you are. He has spoken to your heart, and you have not committed to him. And he's saying to you right now, I want you to do it right here, right now. Church, I want you to pray, because you have some loved ones who are outside of the ark of safety, and someone has come today who needs to make that decision. The Lord is asking you right now to pray for that person, but more than that, be a better light to that person. The Lord is asking you right now to take your stand. Who today want to take their stand for Jesus and never turn back, being a true lighthouse for him? Let me see you raise your hand. You raise your hand, I want you to come forward. Come forward. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Jesus is looking for someone to say, Lord, I have not believed in your word. I have challenged your word. I have not accepted your word. I have been running all my life. Why? Because I wasn't ready, Lord. And now, Lord, I'm ready. And I want to do your will. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If you're not sure about what God wants you to do, if you don't believe what's been shared with you even throughout this week, God is challenging you today to study to show yourself approved. That's what God is saying today. Study. I'll teach you. I'll teach you. I'll lead you. I'll teach you. Anybody that's serious about following God and learning His truth will find it. Everybody that I know that's been out in this dark, dark world who have said, Lord, I'm tired of this sin-cursed life that I'm living. I want to know the truth. And you know what? They end up in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I've seen it too many times. Lady prayed that prayer, and our phone rang, and she thought it was somebody else's number. And it was a number that a person who visited her office for service gave her to call her to change her appointment. And all this time before that, she was asking God to show her the truth. And when she finally listened to the message, it said, end times like these ministries. And she left the message saying, call her back. I've been searching for truth. Can you help me? And now today, this person has finished the Bible studies and preparing for baptism. Don't you tell me God won't bring you to the light. Yes, He will. So let us commit ourselves a living sacrifice to do God's will. Young people, God has a mission for you. Everyone else, God has a mission for all of us that only we can do. There's people that God has out there because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, that only we personally can reach. And He wants us to do it. Oh, yes. He's not going to send the angels down. We are the three angels' messengers. We are. We're the messengers. And it's time to do that. Don't let this revival pass by without you getting your life in reformation. Don't let this revival pass by and you go back to doing the same old things you were doing before the revival. God is asking us to be faithful. God is asking us to give Him our lives. Let's do it today. Let's do it today. Is there anyone else that want to commit their life to Jesus and start anew with Him? I want you to stand, those who are out there. I don't want to prolong this, but I do know one thing. I have to obey the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Jesus is looking for somebody who's going to go all the way with Him. But you know what? It's okay if you don't want to decide for Christ. It's okay. You have a right not to decide for Christ. That's okay. Jesus loves you anyhow. God's people should love you anyhow. You have a right to make the decision that you want to make. It's okay. He just wants to live you to live with Him forever. And if you don't want to have that, that's okay. It'll break our hearts and His. But that's okay. Please don't turn your back on Jesus. Not today. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. You don't know if you'll live the next 5 minutes. Now I want to pray for everyone. And I'm going to ask the pastor of this church to deliver that prayer. I want you to pray for yourselves and your family members that you represent. And pray that God will take you and not let you go. That He will break you on the rock, Christ Jesus, and make you new again, piece by piece. Pray for yourselves as the pastor take us to the throne.
Let's all stand to our feet in the name of Jesus. If somebody next to you, just touch them. Let's touch their hands, hold, clasp hands together. As we stand in unity, as we launch this special training for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We were heading straight for the rocks, heading straight for destruction. Yeah. Our attitudes, our motives, yeah, our direction was heading towards the rocks. Yeah. And Jesus changed our course. We humbled ourselves. If we didn't humble ourselves, He humbled us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So that we will not destroy ourselves. We will not destroy our families. We will not destroy our future. but we will be able to be a part of that proclaiming message to warn those who are also heading to the rocks so that we can bring them safely to the shore. Safely tend to their wounds, tend to their fears, tend to their condition of being bruised and battered by life, and bring them to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah for a work like this. Hallelujah, 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 that he has called us to this special wonder working power work. Glory, hallelujah. And Father God, as we have come, Lord, to consecrate ourselves, Lord, again on this another Sabbath, Lord, we say thank you for choosing us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of that carnal mind. The carnal mind that always questions things. The carnal mind that always has an attitude for people up front. The carnal mind that don't want to follow instructions. The carnal mind that seems to always want to lag behind and criticize. Thank you for delivering us, Lord. Thank you for bringing us into oneness, and thank you for bringing us into harmony, Father God, so that, Lord, we will not be wasted away by the rocks of the devil to be destroyed when we come Sabbath after Sabbath, but, Lord, so that we can be founded on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, and sound the alarming message that Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. And bringing folk to safety, so that when he comes, they're not out there in the seas of destruction. But that we can say, as for me and my house, we are bringing people to the Lord. As for me and my house, oh God, we realize it's an urgent time. It's emergency. We're sounding the alarm. We're organized for this, Lord. Our homes are organized. We're consecrated for this by you, Lord. We're not going to walk out and come in as at other times. We're not going to have our homes in disarray. Oh God, we're going to order our lives in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be a mighty army of God together. Yes, Lord, we're not perfect. But God, we're going to hold on to each other, lock arms in arms, oh God, shoulder to shoulder, step by step. We're going to encourage each other and work together so that those who need the Lord can find him in a ministry, in a church home that is organized to receive them. Forgive us, Lord. But that's the past. We're forgiven. The present, oh God, is right now. We stand together so that we don't get stuck. We stand united, oh God, not divided. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for anointing us. Each one of us, we have gifts. Each one of us, we have passions. And we're bringing it together at the foot of the cross. Hallelujah. Father God, as we stand here, as we prepare to eat and prepare to come back, Father, we just recognize and acknowledge your holy presence. This holy, holy meeting, this holy time. Glory, hallelujah. The devil is rebuked. Meaning, oh God, he is given a stern warning to get back, get away in the name of Jesus Christ. Shackles and chains are broken. Hallelujah. Individuals are free, free to walk to Jesus, free to stand in Jesus, free to live for Jesus. Not living, oh God, according to the image of the beast, but living according to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. In the name and the power of Jesus Christ, let the church rejoice by saying, amen. Amen. And amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed by the best.